This is Let's Talk Tribe, the official Let's Go Tribe podcast, episode 108. I'm your host, Matt Lyons, and in this week's episode, Francisco Lindor has blue hair and some other important things about him, I guess. The bullpen could actually be good. Jason Kipnis is going to stick at second base. A bunch of free agents have signed deals, not with the Indians. Should we be concerned about that? And Shane Bieber has struck out a lot of batters in the last year. Something else to talk about. Joining me for all that and more is none other than Mr. Merritt Rolfing. Merritt, how you doing?
You know, I was just thinking, besides the fact the Indians could have drafted Nolan Arenado instead of Jason Kipnis. No, wait, they couldn't have because he was drafted before. Never mind. My entire statement is moot. Anyway, I'm great. How are you?
Doing great. Wait, so that whole thing you were looking at before the show was just invalidated?
That I misread they couldn't have taken Nolan Arenado? Because you can't draft someone who was already drafted.
That's usually how it works. I mean, I'm not sure how the CBA works. It changes once in a while. But
all right. Adjustment. They could have had Steven Matz or John Ryan Murphy or Alex Wilson, DJ LeMahieu or Patrick Corbin.
So yeah, they did pretty good with Kipnis. I'm all right with that. Or I guess Patrick Corbin wouldn't have been bad, but
yeah, well, you know, yeah. They already have some pitchers.
They didn't do too bad. I mean, they got Trace Thompson eventually anyway, right? So who cares?
Yeah, that was only real miss there, right? Thompson, as he's known, F-A-Y-C-E is how you spell face when it comes to that nickname.
That's the worst nickname ever. Oh, that's kind of better. I mean,
no, he's a handsome boy. What are you talking about?
What would you call Trace Thompson as a nickname? Like,
he just looks like an TT. Unfortunate Clay Thompson.
That's his nickname, the unfortunate Clay Thompson.
Who himself is an unfortunate looking man. He's like a villain in a bad Disney movie.
Or a great Disney movie. They have the weirdest one.
What's the difference? There isn't one.
So the Indians this week, along with, I guess, everybody at this point, they're in spring training. And in the last couple of days, the Indians, I think Terry Francona has been talking to media like every day. But today there seemed to be like a flurry of players talking to media, especially Francisco Lindor. He talked about a lot. He also has bright blue hair and large bulging biceps now. So classic. He's quickly taken the place of Yandy Diaz plus blue hair. I guess his hair technically is the most important thing about his offseason so far. It's the fact that he has a mild calf strain. He might not be back right away. And also, you know, maybe he's not focused on signing a long-term extension with the Indians. There is a lot going on with the Cleveland Indians' shortstop and best shortstop in the game by a long shot, one of the best players in baseball. Might not be with the Indians past 3 years. He also might be injured to start the year. So what do you make of just all of that, Merritt?
By a long shot?
By a long shot. Is there any other shortstop that's close? Manny Machado was not that close. Get out of here.
The guy on the Dodgers. The other one.
Corey Seager?
Yeah, he's really good. Oh, by the way, Kyle Seager. The Indians could have drafted him. He was drafted in the third round. So,
well, he wasn't. Yeah, that doesn't count.
The other Seager, you know. Corey's brother. Doesn't count. Anyway, yes, Corey Seager. He's very good.
Is he Francisco? Oh, I guess he is kind of good. He's not Francisco Lindor good, though.
Yeah, well, he is, but, you know, whatever. What's that's neither here nor there. You know, whatever. I forgot what everything else you said. The blue hair is pretty neat. The biceps. I think you're just not remembering Yandy Diaz because he's not in your face as much anymore because that boy's biceps were a poppin'. They were balloon shaped.
Well, obviously, nobody is going to be Yandy Diaz biceps, but this is about as good as we got now.
Yeah, I know. What if he's getting... Ooh, that's a fun, stupid argument to have during the winter on bad sports talk radio. Is Francisco Lindor too muscular to play shortstop now? What if his defense suffers? Anyway, that's a good thing to talk about, right?
That is like that's a conversation straight out of... I don't know, how far away would that be? Like, even just 5 years, maybe, I think people would have that stupid conversation?
They could still have it now. What do you mean? Look at this bicep. Damn, look at those guns, though. He's got to do something about that hair, because that's absurd. Not that I'm judging him for his hair or anything like that, but...
I think when the inevitable strike happens and baseball ends in 2021, he can have a great streaming career on Twitch or something with blue hair.
I think he should go with green, a beautiful green, like the grass of the outfield or something like that. Or even better, he should just go full Dennis Rodman and get a small baseball diamond on his head. Yes, that's what we need. I would like Francisco Lindor to just go around the bend like that. Maintain his ability to be great at baseball, but, you know, be a little insane. That's what's missing
just
from
baseball. Just a touch of insane. I think the blue hair is better than that silver Cisco look he had last.
I love that.
Training.
That was really
that
good.
That was the worst. I think he said he did it on a bet or something. But
shaved his head on a bet because his high school team or whatever went undefeated.
Right, but then he did the Cisco thing. I should know because I even interviewed him about it, but I can't remember why.
He likes style. That's why.
Clearly. And the also, platinum hair is the style.
Yeah. That made me think of that great hit song by Cisco. Yes, that's right. The other one that isn't the thong song, which whose name escapes me.
Go on, Merritt. What is it?
Oh, why? It's, let me just sit here.
Go on. Go on, Merritt. Name the song. I better not hear typing in the background. Name that Cisco song.
Incomplete.
But besides his hair, I mean, he's also not going to be here. So how worried are we about the fact that Francisco Lindor is going to be injured? I think the thing I'm worried about the most is rushing him back, because Terry Francona, like, a few days after the injury, immediately came out and said, oh, I think he'll be back sooner than the expectations. They were like, no, he doesn't need to do that. No, stop it. Have you learned nothing from Lonnie Chisenhall, Michael Brantley, and a dozen pitchers?
Josh Donaldson also.
Josh Donaldson.
Similar injury.
I think that one was different. They wanted to get him back. Like, you got to at least get him back for the postseason.
Well, I mean, just as a player for most of 20.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. And also 18, he had a bad calf. So it's just one of those, you know, it's one of those weird injuries that athletes suffer that we, as, you know, plebes who just sit around making podcasts with cats in their lap, do not suffer quite so much.
Hey, I get cramps once in a while in my legs, and those hurt a lot, Merritt, until I walk around a little bit.
I'll be sitting in a way where my cat is comfy, and I can't move at all. And then I can't move, because what if the cat wakes up? It'll never fall back asleep. No, this is in real terms, this is a hideously gutting situation that they still shouldn't rush back from, because, you know, they're going to – when was the last time they even had a winning record coming out of April? You know what I mean? I mean, I know the answer is like last year or 2 years ago or something, but it was like they were still like two games over 500.
They're always just abysmal to start the year.
Yeah, they just fart through April. It's like, whatever, who cares? You know, Carrasco is going to get bombed in his first start. Kluber will be fine. Bauer will throw a no-hitter. And on we go. And the bullpen will or will not fart on a pillow or two. And we're six. We'll see. We'll get to that in a bit. but like for a team that doesn't have an offense right now, this sucks, you know, because it's also going to tax him. He won't be as good last year offensively, or this year as he was last year. I don't think so anyway. I mean, not like he's going to be bad, but he'll probably be a 120 WRC plus kind of a guy instead of what, 135
garbage.
Or so.
Get him out.
Right, exactly. I mean, he'll still be the second or third best hitting shortstop in the game. But that's the issue with the Indians, is they don't need the second, a great hitting shortstop. They need a great hitter, because again, I did that stupid thing where I open up the depth chart and get upset. They have a lot of things riding on Jose Ramirez and Kipnis bouncing back, Jake Bowers being okay. Like, I don't know. I'm pretty optimistic about Carlos Santana, because how can you not be? But like, I was thinking about the Jordan Luplow deal, and I was trying to find positivity in it because of how many times that they've just kind of hoodwinked other teams by trading them.
That doesn't feel like a hoodwinking to you? It feels like one to me.
I can't tell or not. For Dante Mendoza, Eric Gonzalez, and... Because, you know, like, they traded, like the deal for Kluber was, like, old Ryan Ludwig. Or the deal for Clevenger was Vinny Pestano. Jake Westbrook brought something back, too, I think. But, like, these are guys who were, I don't know. Maybe there's something.
I mean, I don't think he's going to be the outfield of Corey Kluber, but I feel like trading Eric Gonzalez for...
Yes, he will be. Sorry for the swearing, everyone.
Trading Eric Gonzalez for a league average hitting outfielder doesn't seem terrible. No, and he also got Max Muroff, who might be the shortstop on opening day, which, God, that's depressing. But
no, I know. I don't know. Again, it's the reality is that this is just the guy who is going to be one of the two cornerstones of the offense. Maybe he could be the keystone and Ramirez the cornerstone, because you can't have two cornerstones in a building. So they're like an arch, I guess. Yeah. Okay. So they're like an arch.
Now they've got that visual going on.
Yeah. So
and now Lindor Francisco Lindor's hamstring is just like the wrecking ball that came in and knocked it all
right,
over.
Right. Exactly. It's all that's holding up now is scaffolding, and there's a big wind blowing off the planes.
But if you want some fun numbers, Pacoda released, I mean, their projections for standings. The Indians are projected to win 97 games, and the Twins are 16 games behind. Francisco Lindor, like, unless he's going to be a 16-win player, they could probably just let him sit till September and still win by, like, double digits.
I think the Twins will be better than their projections suggest. I think they'll be, like, an 80-ish win team. They're just doing lots of little things around the margins, I think, to improve in places where they were garbage last year as they continue to, you know, delve deeper and deeper into the current era of baseball and shaking off the Terry Ryan era after, you know, 2 decades of success and then mediocrity. But I think they'll be better than that. The rest of the division's gonna be better. But the 97, yeah, I saw the 90, I was like, 97, good Christmas. And then the other
that's good second one, best team in baseball behind the Astros.
Right. And then like there's other ones on there, like the Red Sox falling back to like 91 wins.
Which and the I Cubs mean, being like the Cubs are now 79 wins as of today, which that is was just a beautiful. Fun one,
yeah. Ugh, that's quite
I mean the thing which is, by the way, what is his name? Ricketts? I can't think of his first name.
Right, he's but anyway,
he said they're out of money, him. The poor guy.
Yeah,
the
owners. Yeah.
the poor guy just out of money, Merritt. He tried. Poor guy. He's just so broke. He's I mean they're valued at $2 billion, but forget that, they're broke.
Well, you know, he had to close DNA Info after they all tried to unionize, because I mean these can't are have big, that. You know, now he can't make any money by underpaying people. It's a damn shame. But yeah, I mean, in the AL East, at least you get 19 wins for free by playing the Orioles, 17-19, because I assume they won't win any games. But that 79 was quite something.
I think. And why are they so terrible now? I don't follow them all that closely, but are they still not like mostly the same World Series team, but with worse pitching?
They are predominantly. That's the thing. I think a lot of people are looking at the pitching and just shaking their heads. When I look at it, I'm like, oof, I think that's going to be really good, because Quintana's got to bounce back from a 4.03 ERA. Lester will be who he is. I don't know. Hendricks is a weird wild card. And then they're going to get Yu Darvish back at some point. I like Yu Darvish. I think he's really good. And their bullpen's really, really good, too. Like, that's one of the things that Theo Epstein was able to bring in, was a lot of great blazing arms for the bullpen, as well as what is still a stacked lineup. So, I don't know. It's very confusing that people are so sleepy on them. I think in 2019, Javier Baez will be, like, the third or fourth best hitter on that team. So, that's saying something.
I feel like the perception of the Indians is what – wait, I got this backwards. People perceive the Indians as being what the Cubs are, but the Indians are actually a really well-rounded team other than like a couple giant holes. But their pitching staff is so good that it could legitimately carry them in 97 games. Right, we'll talk about in a minute that even their bullpen could be better than we all think. And I mean, Jose Ramirez and Francisco Lindor, if those two are super good, that's at least part of your offense. And I think you mentioned it as kind of like a long shot thing, but Jason Kipnis bouncing back and Jake Bowers being pretty okay doesn't seem that far out of the question.
No, not at all. I mean,
and of course, outfield Corey Kluber, Jordan Luplow is going to be great too. So
sure. Well, I mean, I guess if we're talking about which one, because when he first came over from and came to the Indians, you know, he wasn't that great. I'm talking about Kluber. He was a league average hit pitcher. I think he was exactly a 100 ERA plus. If memory serves.
Oh, no, Luplow is going to be the equivalent of Cy Young Corey Kluber. That's what's going to happen.
Well, no, that'll be the next year. The next year he will nearly win. He'll play all 162 games. He'll have a .325 batting average at 38 home runs. You know, a normal everyday. He'll lead the league in, I guess, weighted on base average, I suppose, because Kluber led the league in fielding independent pitching. Yeah. That's okay. That's okay with me.
Yeah, that's about even. I think if any trades end up to be that, I think it'll be Oscar Mercado from last year, because I still feel like he's like nobody's even talking about him now, but he's one that the Cardinals seem to really like, and maybe he can come over and explode out of nowhere with the, or somehow if he splits time with Leonis Martin or something. But he's still my dream of the next swindling, which, by the way, if that happens again, that's what, 3-4 trades, I guess. Casey Blake for Carlos Santana wasn't this front office technically, but neither was Corey Kluber, but Chris Anthony was here, I think.
I mean, it's all the same front office.
It was Shapiro,
office.
Yeah. Yeah, but still, that's like 4 or 5 of these just absolutely one-sided trades.
It's been the same front office since John Hart. I mean, it's just one guy retires and then his assistant takes over. Yeah. So,
or one guy just heads for Canada.
Same thing. He just says, I'm done with this.
I want to use you in the word color. I'm out.
Because let's see, the Kluber trade, Carrasco, he was a throw-in, Bauer trade, Clevenger trade.
Bieber. Bauer doesn't count. That was a legit trade, I think.
No, that was definitely, I mean, yeah, that was a...
No, that wasn't like a Vinny Pistano for Mike Clevenger thing. Yeah, everybody knew what everybody was in that trade.
Well, I guess. I mean, it was a nice deal because they got rid of the last year of what's-his-name. Well, Shin-Soo.
Shin-Soo Chu. I love Shin-Soo Chu. How dare you?
Everyone loves Shin-Soo Chu.
He's still kicking, I think. He's on the Rangers.
Being old as hell, having an on-base percentage around .400 and not being able to run, throw, or hit. You know, whatever.
He gets on base. Yeah, he gets on base. I still remember with that trade, I thought that the Reds got ripped off the most because they just gave away Didi Gregorius.
Yes.
Or no, I thought it was the Diamondbacks because I thought Didi was going to be really bad.
Oh, they did get ripped off. Well, but yeah. He was good for other people. You know, that's
right, yeah. That was still a dumb trade on their part.
And now we all hate D.D. Gregorius.
Because he's on the Yankees.
Or the victimization he's caused of the Indians so many times.
He's the worst. So who do you think is going to start at shortstop this year then for opening day? Is it going to be Max Muroff, Yu Chang? I don't know. Jose Ramirez, I don't think, is going to do it. I think he's already said for sure he's not doing it. He's a third baseman. He didn't want to bounce back and forth. But
I mean, the depth chart is nothing right now, obviously.
No. Let's go back to the depth chart, Merritt. Depth chart watch 2019.
Oh, I'm back. I mean, that does list, what's his name? That does list Chang as a backup. But obviously, it'll probably be Muroff just for
service
time reason, things like that. You know, it'll be awful. You know, oh God, it'll be so bad. So anyway, here's the opening lineup for your Cleveland Indians on opening day. It'll be leadoff Martin. No, oh, Santana leadoff, and then Martin Ramirez. Lord,
Santana.
No, Santana's leading off.
Oh right, yeah.
Ramirez bats Kipnis? Third. Kipnis bats fourth.
And then
Lupo,
one of the outfielders.
Naquin or Allen Perret. Takes a hard right turn.
And then Roberto Perez in the back there. Just rounding out the winners.
Sixth, yeah. I'm gonna reference back an article I wrote about 6 months ago pointing out all the things he does as a great hitter except for hitting. So I think that last part's gonna finally click this year.
I still hold that he's a really smart base runner. He's not a good base runner. No. Like one of the first plays that I wrote about for Let's Go Tribe was like he went around the whole bases. I don't think anybody hit a ball, but he was just so smart about when he moved. And I still think that holds true for him. He's just so slow, so hilariously slow.
Counterpoint to that. Do you remember, I think it was in 2017 when he didn't get a hit for like the first like 2 months of the game?
Oh, he's abysmal, like, and everything else. But
and I was actually in Baltimore for his first hit of the season. It was in like
and July. He tried to turn it into a double, and then he got thrown out.
So counterpoint.
He's a good base runner when he stops at a base and has to reset. So that still counts as hitting when you're trying to round second. So we won't count that one.
That's fair.
But you know,
I do like him though. But yeah, I don't know. It's going to be an ugly lineup, and they'll have to figure it out. And isn't that a fun way to look at things?
Isn't that so fun? Yeah. It is at least. No, it's not fun. I'm not going to say that. I was going to say it's at least a little different than the last year when it was just like the exact same team as 2017. Yeah. So I guess there is some intrigue, at least, like seeing some position battles and not knowing what's going to happen where. I just wish the battles were with better players.
Right.
Not everybody hoping to catch lightning in a bottle. But I've also said before that I'm not completely against just letting young players do it instead of bringing in a bunch of mid-level veterans. Like, you got Leonis Martin in center field. Let Jordan Luplow and whoever else in the outfield battle for it. And Tyler Naquin, who I keep forgetting exists somehow, but he's going to be out there doing something. So
I never forget about Tyler Naquin. He's going to learn how to hit one of these days. There were a couple of the Fangraphs top 100 prospects that came out last week. I thought it was surprisingly interesting, if only because of the presence of guys I hadn't really seen this high up on the list. And most of them will not help the Indians in 2018, specifically Nolan Jones being ranked like, was he, Nolan Jones, 65th overall. I mean, that's higher than I kind of thought he would be. But then Yu Chang at 103. I thought that was interesting. I think he could actually make it. That's the kind of player where you wonder whether they're going to really try and baby his service time or not. He might need more time in AAA, but I mean, that's a guy who I think could spend a lot of time with the Indians. And that's the kind of player I'd like for the Indians to spend a lot of time with, if only because he's young, interesting, and could be good. Like, his hit tool is pretty good and got a lot of weird power. You just can't, you know, play the field. Kind of like an infield version of, I don't know, someone. But
now, do they keep him and Muroff long term?
No, I mean,
because I think the thinking when Chang was coming up all along was that he would be traded eventually because Francisco Lindor is there. But
right.
Maybe if he's not going to be there after 3 years, you keep him around. But
I mean, if the scuttlebutt as it is about Chang is that he can't play, you know, defense.
Which I thought he was a good defender.
Let me hit enter a bunch because when you type in Chang, it brings up change up a lot. Yu Chang. I can't type anything.
Yeah, I feel like he's a decent defender. His problem is just he hits power and nothing else. Like, he can't get on base very well.
Power, though, and he's a viable defensive third baseman and would be capable of moonlighting at short or second, the Cleo needs him to be. So,
Oh, yeah. So I guess it's just sort of like a utility.
He's a versatile bat first prospect who can play all over the place. Yeah. So he's just, I mean, you know, the expectation is likely, you know, just another Eric Gonzalez, but with the ceiling of, I don't know, something else.
With the ceiling of way more power. Like, if you can just hit a home run once in a while and play some defense, that's, I think it's good enough for a backup role.
Man, if I could just have that career as a real human being, my God. What do you do? I hit a home run every now and then, play some defense. Pretty good.
Sit in the dugout, you know, stuff.
Play 65, 70 games a year, but I'm here all the time, so I got to collect that Major League Baseball, that Major League chip. They keep on signing me, too, so I'm making like $2 million a year. It's great.
I don't think they know I'm here. I just keep stopping in, getting the check, leaving. It's good. It all works out. So the Indians' bullpen, maybe it's not going to be terrible. Their new look this year is going to be Brad Hand as the closer. Terry Francona talked today that he thinks that, I'm not using his words, but to summarize it, like somebody else is going to pop up like Dan Otero did a couple years ago. Like, he has faith that every year the bullpen is just so volatile, you get players who you think can be good and then just hope some of them shoot off while the other ones decline. But Kyle Downing at Always the Jake actually called the Indians a top five unit, which is kind of interesting, I think. His old basis for it was basically that everything went wrong last season. That can't happen again. Because Andrew Miller and Cody Allen were both terrible. Zach McAllister, they just weren't themselves, but Zach McAllister and Josh Tomlin were terrible in the bullpen. Adam Simper probably won't be that bad again. And then a big problem the bullpen has was fly balls, which for a bullpen, you can't really take those as... The sample size is just too small to use that as anything as a judge over long periods of time. But the bullpen just gave up so many fly balls. I don't know if that's part of everybody hitting the ball up more or just dumb bad luck. But that, if you remember right, that beginning of last season was just abysmal with the bullpen. I don't think that'll happen again this year. Maybe if it doesn't, they are a top five bullpen. And Steamer projected to be 18th, which is, I mean, I guess bullpens can go either way so quickly that maybe they're going to be wrong. And then they brought back Oliver Perez, who I think is really underrated. So I don't hate the idea that they might be a pretty decent bullpen, and maybe that's the reason the Indians haven't signed like Craig Kimball or somebody crazy. They already know they have enough to support their outstanding starting pitching.
In 2018, Dan Artero's home run for fly ball ratio was 31.6.
That's normal. That's fine. That's going to happen again. It's fine.
I don't know. That's just one of my favorite things.
I mean, Kyle Downing is right, though. That can't happen again. That does not happen.
I mean, the year before, it was 26.1. It's just his fly ball rate jumped 7%. That's why he went from being, to, ugh, God.
Right.
But I don't know. I remember the article. The one glaring omission here is that in years past, when, I don't know, Dan Otero or Jeff Manship or Mark Zepchinski or whoever emerged out of seemingly nowhere, what was the common thread through all of those things?
Mickey Callaway.
Bang. And so I'm not saying that it's over with. We're finished here because Mickey Callaway is gone. I'm just saying that Mickey Callaway is gone, and suddenly the bullpen fell into disrepair, to say the least, with his departure. And now that they've lost two, you know, all-star caliber, I wish there was an all-pro kind of a thing in baseball, because saying you're an all-star doesn't mean shit. I don't know. I mean, Kyle is right that there is definitely some upside to the bullpen. There's because there's youth, and also because bullpens, as a writer for a website I used to write for, Steve Kinsella would often say, bullpens by nature are fickle. They ebb and flow, and unless you are really lucky in drafting or spend a ton of money, and even then, you know, like a team like the Yankees, they're going to go through a swoon in like July where that entire bullpen just hits the skids. And everyone will complain and say, what's the point of any of this? But then it'll be fine, you know, come whenever. The Royals bullpen didn't last forever. It was really good for, what, 2 years, I would say? 14, 15.
And yeah, then... that was about their World Series runs. It was all their bullpen, and just kind of obnoxious luck on offense.
Yeah, and it just kind of started, you know, age and whatnot. But it's just, the Indians were very lucky to have a couple of really, 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 really good pitchers in the bullpen who just weren't good bullpen guys, who were just good pitchers, you know, so it is what it is. But you can certainly go the other route, too, and that's where they're going now, which is throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and see what sticks and then ride that and then hope that at least one or two of those guys is consistent. And with a guy like Hand, a guy like Perez, and hopefully a third guy emerges, then suddenly you have that three-headed dragon that got them so far last time. But there's, I don't know, the whole point of that article and the whole point of the bullpen construction when you don't have those huge arms coming out of the farm system or the lots of money to spend on the free agent market, the whole point is just, it's got to work out. At law averages. It's going to shake out, right? I mean, yeah, their ground ball rate's very good. So I got to field the ground balls. I'm not going to be, they're going to be their best defender for, you know, a month or more. Well, a month at least. So it's going to smell bad.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think you can overstate. So listen, I love Josh Tomlin. I kind of like Zach McAllister, but they were terrible. So they've trimmed out like the two worst offenders in their bullpen last season. So that's got to go somewhere. I mean, Josh Tomlin was so bad everywhere he pitched. And Zach McAllister, if the Indians of all teams cut Zach McAllister in the middle of the year, you know he had to have a bad year. Because they've been so loyal to that guy, no matter how bad he's been everywhere he's pitched. And now last year was just the final straw of they can't
take him anymore. How many articles do you think you wrote about Zach McAllister finally figuring it out?
Probably fewer than you did.
I've written so many pieces about him.
I never thought he figured it out.
No.
Listen, I liked him. I wanted to succeed. I thought he could be fun, but it was just fastball, nothing else. And then even when they caught up to that in the bullpen, it was no help for him.
I got to put together like a book of writings from my time writing about the Indians over the last like 7 years of just, I don't know how to title it, but just be about guys in the shitty pitchers who I thought had turned the corner. And then
there you go. There's your quote. Just in like impact font on the front of the book.
It would just be 400 pages long.
There's a whole section dedicated to Zach McAllister.
I do it constantly. Neil Ramirez. But you know what? Neil Ramirez actually does encapsulate Kyle's point perfectly. Because he did catch fire for a certain period of time that really did save the bullpen for a little while. And that's actually how bullpens are. Like, he will get shelled for a week or more. Like, he comes in and just throws meatballs up there and they just crush him. And then all of a sudden he's unhittable. His slider is biting like, I don't know, like something that bites very much.
That was good, man. That was really, that was some words, man. Thank you.
He's locating the fastball perfectly and then also getting a little bit lucky. I mean, then that's the whole point of any of this stuff is fly balls have to go not over the fence and ground balls have to go towards the defender rather than not towards the defender, you know? A lot of that is also, you know, smarter and smarter defensive positioning, things like that. But I think Neil Ramirez doesn't actually encapsulate the point that I think Kyle was making in that article. Someone else, I mean, yeah, one of these guys is going to, I don't know why Francona kept on talking about what's his name, Edwards, so much, because
talk about Adam Simber, he's a submariner, that's fun to talk about.
Right, like of all the guys to talk about, like a young guy who you have hope for, like that's the one to talk about, that's the one to look at and say, this kid's going to, you know, he's going to figure it out and have a place on this team.
Look at this kid's goofy arm over here.
Yeah, he's got this weird wiggle arm, come on, it's great. Not John Edwards, the name of a
NASCAR
nearly driver. The name of former vice presidential candidate, NASCAR driver, and also almost the name of a disgraced medium. Remember John Edward? I do.
What? Oh, the guy who like cold red people in the audience? Of course,
yes,
I do.
I'm hearing a name. Is it Jake, Jim, Joe, Jonathan? Yes, yes, Jonathan. He was your aunt.
He so anyway, knew you.
Yeah. So anyway, that's I mean, I'm sure they'll be better than last year, but because goddamn, it has to be.
I mean, they have to be.
They have to be. That's
where
you
got
to
start. They have to be better.
Was gutting. I mean, it's still upsetting that they just went through an entire offseason and didn't do anything realistic to fix it, because that is what I don't know. I can't remember who said it. I think maybe it was someone over at Waiting for Next Year, but that's how you kill an exciting season, is a bad bullpen.
That's like I can't think of a worse, because they always blow it at the end. There's no way they're not going to. Like, if a bad offense,
it just leaves a bad, like, and you can see dazzling pitching, and then all of a sudden it's bad taste in your mouth, and the season, and you know, the game's over, and you're like, this sucks. And that'll happen once a week. Even, you know, in a win, you know, they'll tightrope out of what was supposed to be a blowout, and you're like, this is ridiculous.
And I remember last year, there were multiple games a week where it was just decimating every time, and it was awful.
Yeah, just anxiety, just anxiety inducing. So that, I don't know. Hey, there's hope that Craig Kimbrell will be upset and sign for a reduced rate, like I don't know, someone like how they got Michael Bourne a couple years ago, and turned into an albatross of a contract, and there you go.
you didn't go with Edwin Encarnacion in that analogy there.
No, because he only got a little bit less money than he was looking for. Michael Bourne was looking for like $100 billion.
No, Edwin was looking for like 130,000.
He wanted 80. He wanted 80 over 4. He got like 60 over 3 or whatever with an option.
Are you sure? I think it was that the Blue Jays offered him 4 and 80, and he wouldn't take it. Yeah.
Okay.
Because he wanted like the 130, and then everybody laughed at him for getting way less.
Well, he should have gotten 130.
Which, by the way, can we talk about, let's just skip right to the free agent things here, because the fact that Mike Moustakas is on another 1 year deal while Eric Hosmer got a 8 year gazillion dollar deal is still hilarious to me in the most tragic way possible.
It is strange.
Eric Hosmer is so bad.
Who's running the Padres? I love how they're running it. They're trying to sign both Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. That is the stench of desperation. That's a man who gave away $100-some-odd million contract. All his prospects are failing. And I was just like,
Get in here. I need them.
Like, it's hilarious. No, he's going to the owner. No, sir, it's fine. No, this is my plan all along. Clear the books and just have three huge contracts and prospects. Stars and scrubs works every time, sir. Don't look at the Astros. No.
Yeah, remember 3 years ago when they signed Matt Kemp and Craig Kimbrell and...
Yeah, that ruled.
It was really cool, but it was really awful. So, Mary, I'm going to read you 7 war totals over the last 7 years. This is nobody in particular. I just want you to just guess who this mysterious player is.
Sounds like Jason Kipnis to me.
So the first year was 1 war. Then it was -1.4, 3.1, -0.2, 3.5.
I know just who this is.
0.2, 4.1, -0.1. Now, Merritt, would you give this mystery player 8 years, $144 million? I sure would.
Well, here's the thing.
But listen, he scoops the ball really good.
Skills are so good. And, you know, he's a great clubhouse guy, and he's a winner. I mean, you know, all right, here, I'll play another game. I'm going to read you some war totals, and then you tell me how many World Series this guy has won. Give me 1 minute. Okay, here we go. 10.5, 10.5, 9, 7.6, 9.4, 10.5, Jesus Christ, 6.7 in 114 games, 10.2. So, who's the better
winner? Michael Trout, who doesn't care about the game.
Exactly. Some other idiot with a clean-shaven face. Meanwhile, Eric Hosmer, beard. Also, wears a blue hat sometimes.
Since this is turning into the Eric Hosmer shitting hour, I also want to note that. So the Fangraphs has the offense and defense numbers at the end that are cumulative. Just take a shot. So you know how Eric Hosmer, he's great at defense, Merritt. That's why he got that contract. Guess what his total is.
Leadership and winning ability.
No, he scoops the ball really good.
And he's clutch.
I just want you to guess. What is his total defensive value over the last 7 years?
Negative.
It's cumulative. Cumulative.
Right. -43.
-117.5.
Yeah, but I mean, with positional adjustments and stuff.
And, I mean, he was a shortstop. That'd only be -110. So, I mean.
And he had to play next to the terrible shortstop of theirs for a while. He was their shortstop the year they lost the World Series.
Not Eric Hosmer, that's for sure.
All right. Also, let's refer back to the fact that they won the World Series. and how upsetting that continues to be, because fuck that team. It was, by the way, if you go to the picture Lorenzo Cain on the 2015 Kansas City Royals pictures, you know, they have all the pictures of guys on the team.
Yeah.
He just looks like, it's like a painting from the 1950s. Never else is just a normal human being.
Oh, and Mary, don't forget, in 2014, when they went to the World Series, Eric Hosmer carried that team.
He did.
His -0.2 war and 98 WRC plus, they would not have made it without that.
He almost hit 300. Well, sort of. He hit 270. He hit 302 the year before and 297 the year after. That's basically hitting 300 over 2 years.
I mean, he almost got 100 ribeyes twice, so
good. Imagine eating. You couldn't eat 100 ribeyes.
Oh, he did get 100. Sorry, in 2016.
Yeah, so there you go. In 93 in 2015, And
that was when his defense was also negative 16.9. Listen, he's just off. What were we talking about? I was just mentioning this on Twitter before. I was so excited to look at how bad he was.
Oh, we were just talking about free agency.
That's right, yeah.
How insane the Padres are, because they're the greatest team known to men.
The main thing was that, are we worried about the Indians passing over these basically nothing deals? I mean, even Derek Dietrich, who at one point, am I imagining that we wanted, not like put words in your mouth, like people wanted the Indians to trade Trevor Bauer at one point to include Derek Dietrich because he looked really good? No, probably not, looking at his stats now. But anyway, he was a minor league deal. He's a third baseman who can be an above average hitter. And he's a third baseman, second baseman outfielder, which is like everything the Indians need. And the Reds got him for literally nothing. And the Indians didn't bother. I'm
surely something. They have a union. They have to pay him.
Well, he's got a minor league contract, so.
Oh, all right.
So nothing. He is worthless to the MLB Players Association.
Never mind. He's making $32,000 this year, prorated in 6 months, so $18,000 or whatever.
But while I also don't want to load up with veterans, I also would have taken him over like Matt Joyce. I still don't.
You know, I didn't mind the Matt Joyce deal too badly. Matt Joyce isn't great, but it's not.
I mean, he's fine. But I would have taken Derek Dietrich over him.
Matt Joyce is the most Indians choice player, though.
It's true.
It's like, hey, this guy could find a little lightning bottle. Man, the top 12 WAR players for the Padres last year was awful.
Where did Eric Hosmer rank in it, Merritt?
11th.
Where does Eric Hosmer rank in the payment or the how much he was paid by the Padres that year?
If you could go above 1 to 0, there.
He's so bad. I hate him so much. It's mostly just one, and all those stupid hits that he had against the Indians is why I hate him. And
he's a truly gutting player. That's the positive and the negative of the ground ball hitter, though. You know, I mean, he'll just because he hits the ball so hard, and that's the thing. He's such a perfect player for 50 years ago. Like he'd be a career, 380 hitter 50 years ago because you just ground ball. No one could have known the ball would go there again. Skip, you're right.
Damn, and the worst thing about those Royals teams is that I know deep down that's the kind of team I like.
Oh,
but I just hate that it was the Royals. I don't want to just see like 20,000 home runs. I want to see those annoying like doubles and singles, and that's more fun to me watching players around the bases.
But I also hate that it was the Royals. Death by 1,000 cuts is the ultimate kind of baseball, and if only we could bring it back. We should bring it back. Dead ball time. Turn that ball back into a big old wet sock.
I mean, is that dead? You think now? Because that does. It seems like baseball wants all the home runs, so. I don't know if that era of baseball is over.
Here's the thing, and I know we've talked about this a few times. It's just, I don't think baseball wants it. I think the home run is the most easily digestible thing and all that stuff. But it's just, and this happens with every single sport. Once you figure out the game, quote unquote, you know, like with the Rockets and the Warriors now with 3-point, obviously having an MVP helps, but. You know, quote unquote, boring basketball or boring baseball is just the most statistically optimal to win the most games on average. When you have this many games and your goal is to win as many of them as possible, you want to do it statistically, good. It's just boring is all. You know, you can't like gauge for doubles up the gap and, ground balls up the middle or anything like that. So
I guess, but it's so much more fun to watch.
There's always drastic things you can do, like literally banning the shift. Like you could just say all defenders have to start in these four positions, which I don't think is a terrible idea. I think it's a terrible idea. I don't think it's a terrible idea.
Well, I don't like it either, but I've never got why people say like, there's no possible way to enforce that. Like, yeah, there is. You just got to be this far away from a certain spot. It's not that
you
hard.
You literally have a range you can be in, it's a 10-foot range left or right, or like the third baseman could be no more than 8 feet off the bag or whatever,
Yeah.
You can move outfielders around all you want, but I don't know. It's not, it's unenforceable. You just, if they don't do it, then you taken out from them or something or cost them a ball. I don't know how you'd actually.
I mean, you give somebody a base, right? If they shift, then
yeah, I guess you give them a base or yeah. All right, yeah, that's fair.
But I mean, it's not an. I've never understood that. Like, I get it if you don't like the rule. I don't like it either. I want just let people do what they want to try to win. But it's easy to enforce. It's like super easy. I'll take that over. Like, I don't know what was the thing I was going for there. I don't know. I just know I hate. Relievers switching in and out so much.
Yeah.
Since we're going to yell at Clouds here, I don't like the opener either, Merritt. Dang it. Oh, I like a guy going 7 innings.
See, I'm totally okay if you could just pitch a different guy every inning because it reminds me of, you know, gym class. And I always enjoyed gym class. You know, gym class kickball. You rotate through the pitcher or wiffle ball, you know?
That's what I want in my Major League Baseball is the equivalent of gym class. That's what I'm shooting for.
Oh, I want to bring... What if you could... Ooh, here's a fun, neat idea. You get three pitchers in your quote-unquote rotation, but not really rotation. It's an in-game rotation. Each one pitches an inning, and then a different guy pitches the second inning, and a different guy the third inning. Now, yes, this may lead to blown-out elbows because of guys getting tired and things like that and resting too long. But I think it's a neat idea that I just came up with.
Oh, wait, so you're switching like every third inning?
Every inning. But then like the guy who pitched the first inning also pitches the fourth inning.
Oh,
and
God, you're just
going to
shred everybody. There's going to be so many arms flailing and death and destruction and Merritt in the commissioner's office just cackling.
Laughing, cackling, villainously. I think it's a great idea. Great idea that no one should contact me about ever again. And I'll forget about it in 2 hours, please.
I don't think the pitch clock's going to do anything. I don't think the three batter minimum is going to happen. That's the ones I don't like, is where you're affecting like the rules of
right. Yeah, that's a little. So the pitch clock, I mean, I've actually read that it's a bad thing because these guys do actually need a little bit of time to, you know, like a micro recovery in between pitches. And if you're rushing them, then you're just going to, as with any physical activity, if you force yourself to, you know, do it before you're ready, you're just going to bust a whatever tendon in some manner or other. So did you want to talk about Manny Machado and Bryce Harper at all, or are you just going to not do that because...
Do we want to? I mean, I was kind of hoping Bryce Harper would have signed by now, but...
I know, yeah.
But there's this mystery team out there, Merritt. I wrote about that. What if it's the old Cleveland Indians?
Because
it could be... I mean, it's not, but it could be... I mean, if you sign Bryce Harper... Like, if you assume that Francisco Lindor is not coming back, he turned down the $100 million deal... He knows he's the best player in eternity right now, other than Mike Trout.
And he's injured, Betts. So he sucks now. He's well, getting that deal, idiot.
But if you consider that, then the Indians have a 3-year window with him. Why not just pay, if you can convince Bryce Harper to do it, just give him a 3-year, $120 million deal. Pay him load short term. Mm-hmm. Try to find a way to dump Jason Kipnis if you really have to, because that's like almost $20 million a year. I mean, literally... Dangle any prospect you want along with him and say, take him so we can sign Bryce Harper. If that's like the line to sign Bryce Harper, I mean, give him Tristan McKenzie. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, whatever.
But
yeah.
I don't think it's going to come to that because I don't think they're going to do it. But that was my idea of get Bryce Harper here on a 3-year deal if you can. But I don't even think Bryce Harper would do that if you offered it. But if I were the Indians, I would be trying desperately to do that.
Well, I mean, if not him, why not Manny Machado too? You put him at shortstop, move Lindor to second.
okay, that's the thing.
Or you just sign
up over Manny Machado. I know,
or you sign Machado. You tell him you'll play him a shortstop, but then don't.
That's a good thing to do to the guy you just spent $40 million a year on.
Yeah, well, whatever. He got his money, so you can shut up.
You'll be getting an email from Tony Clark soon. There will be a public statement on your.
Damn.
But what about these guys not signing, Merritt? They're not anywhere yet. They're probably going to go to the Phillies or the White Sox in Machado's case. But
I tell you, man, the DC sports media is really weird about this because I think they really want him back. And they're also like, but the Rendon deal is so important. He's very underrated. And in my head, I'm like, by whom at this point? Anthony Rendon is recognized as one of the best third basemen in baseball by a large swath of people. And also, I don't think he's as good as Bryce Harper. It's very upsetting that people in the city are not more up in arms about Bryce Harper not being re-signed by a billionaire who's 92 years old, apparently, and also was given a free stadium by the city. It's very upsetting.
My favorite thing about all this has been John Heyman. He has been an all-star of the Bryce Harper rumors. It is very clear that somebody, probably just Bryce's agent, is just telling him, hey, can you say this in public for us? Because he's saying, talks are heating up between this guy. There's a team. There's another team.
No, that is literally what is happening. That is literally how this
like,
works.
Like, they're not hiding it anymore. He doesn't need to say leaks or sources.
Yeah.
Just say Bryce Harper told me. It's okay.
Scott Boras told me this. He's doing this now. He's not, but, you know, he said he told me to say this.
And there was even one point where the Players Association, like, they quote retweeted John Heyman because there was a leak about Manny Machado having this huge offer, and then John Heyman corrected it. And then the Players Association quoted John Heyman, like, clearly somebody in the Players Association or like, they wouldn't quote retweet him if he didn't have the right information and they knew that he had the right information. Like, it's hilariously clear now that like Heyman, I probably even like Ken Rosenthal and JP Perosi are just like all, I don't want to say mouthpieces, but they're all talking like for the agents and players with these Twitter leaks. It's really weird.
I had to change the subject slightly, but I just found out that Ted Lerner is the largest private landowner in the Washington, D.C. region. And now I'm even more upset.
Listen, he's out of money, Merritt. That poor guy cannot afford Bryce Harper.
He should sell his stake in Monumental Sports Entertainment, which owns the Caps, Mystics, Wizards, and Capital One Arena, and pay for Bryce Harper, old jerk.
I am going to miss Bryce Harper in Nats uniform. That always just fit.
I know.
But Philly's not bad either.
A lot too. I know. They have those cool light blue uniforms, the pinstripes. We were talking about this last year with what's his name going over there?
Carlos Santana. How dare you? What's his name?
I couldn't remember. I was like, oh, let's see. Guitarist who plays sweet licks.
I think every player looks fine in a Phillies uniform. Is that a weird take? Like, there's nobody that looks weird. There's plenty of weird players in, like, Blue Jays, but everybody looks like they fit in a Phillies uniform.
Oh, they're sharp. Like, again, it's a sharp, they're simple, and yet also there's some of the fun ones. Because they have the cream ones, which I think are kind of cool.
No, cream is bad.
But, well, I know. That one's all very playful, and there's red, white, and blue on it. They have the pinstripe ones I mentioned, and the light blue ones, and there's some other ones. They're fun. It's a fun, catchy uniform. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, and everybody sort of looks right there. Like, nobody looks right in a Blue Jays uniform. Bryce Harper would look weird there. Carlos Santana would have looked weird there. But Carlos Santana, as weird as it was, he looked like he fit in Philadelphia. Everybody just kind of does.
I agree with you. Yeah, red's a nice color. It's a very bold red they use.
So, Mary, anything else before we hopefully get our baseball prospectus 2019s in a couple of days? Yeah, and
Ted Lerner's got to get his head out of his ass. Pay this dude. Go get tell Mike to shut up and hand him money. Classic shut up and take my money situation.
Shut up and take this other guy's money.
He also owns Chelsea Piers in Washington in New York City. God damn!
Should I know what that is? Am I not?
It's this big, beautiful, like a series of piers in Chelsea on the west side of Manhattan, in New York. It's got a lot of shit on it. It's very fancy and nice. he's the richest person in Maryland. Give him the money, Ted. I'm gonna go to his house. I'm gonna go to his house in Chevy Chase, Maryland, and yell at him.
We'll do that next week, Merritt. Talk to you then.
That's my take.
All right. See you then. Bye.